Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. On December 29, 1890, as the heavily armed 7th Cavalry surrounded an encampment of men, women, and children at Wounded Knee, a crack of a rifle ignited a massacre that left at least 150 Lakota dead. The exact number is unknown. Some put it at twice that. Although 25 soldiers died that day, historians believe they died of friendly fire. Oglala Lakota journalist Tim Gallego lived at Wounded Knee as a young boy, and in his latest Notes from Indian Country column for Native Sun News, he writes that he remembers the warm summer evenings when the Lakota family sat outdoors and spoke softly in reverent voices about that terrible day. On the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the massacre of Wounded Knee, Tim Gallego wrote a column that spurred then-Governor George Mickelson to proclaim 1990 as a year of reconciliation between Indians and whites. Tim Gallego joins the program from our studios at the Dahl Arts Center. And Mr. Gallego, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Good morning, Carl. Nice to be here.
Well, as we mentioned anniversaries, this year marks the 20th anniversary of Governor Mickelson's death in April of 1993. Take us back to the column that led Governor Mickelson to proclaim the year of reconciliation. What did you write?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things in South Dakota's history. There are events that shaped the people and the state. And I think probably one of the most tragic events, at least from the Lakota point of view, was the massacre at Wounded Knee that happened, as you said, on December the 29th, 1890. And as that year was approaching, there were three young Lakota from Pine Ridge, Virgil Killstreet, Elix White Plume, and Jim Garrett. And they decided they would commemorate the 100th anniversary by following the exact path that Sitanka Bigfoot took when he rode to the protection of Red Cloud to the Pine Ridge Reservation. And so they rode that entire ride, even stopping at places where they assumed that he camped with his followers. And when they got to the gravesite, they were going to have and did have a ceremony called Wiping Away the Tears, in which they would ask for peace and actually for forgiveness. And I thought, well, gee whiz, what a better time than to take a good part of South Dakota's history and make something really strong about it. So I wrote this column, brought that entire thing up to Governor Mickelson. And he called me, and I went up to Pierre, and we sat down and talked about perhaps having a year of reconciliation. And in that same column, I talked about why not also have a holiday in South Dakota that would be called Native American Day. And this, too, was a catalyst led by the massacre at Wounded Knee. So that entire year in 1990, the things that happened that were really good for the Lakota people came about because of a tragedy. And Governor Mickelson understood that, and he pushed it, he fought for it, and he got both of them. He got the Year of Reconciliation, which he proclaimed in January of 1990, and the state legislative body passed the Native American Day as a holiday. And I think sometimes the media in South Dakota, it's been 23 years now since that happened, and I think sometimes the media in South Dakota is remiss and really keeping alive some of the good things that happened in the state that we hoped at the time would change race relations. And it's been a long struggle. There's been a lot of improvements over those 23 years. And I can see it in workplaces all over Rapid City and other cities in South Dakota where you see Lakota people working in banks and insurance offices and fast food places, which 20 years ago you never saw that. So there's been a lot of changes, a lot of improvement. I think we're taking everything one step at a time, but I met with Governor Mike Rounds in 2010 along with the Lady Linda Raby from the Chamber of Commerce, and we talked about perhaps having a year of unity in South Dakota to sort of spark a renewal in Governor Mickelson's Year of Reconciliation. And Mike Rounds was very good about it, and he did proclaim 2010 the Year of Unity. And we had some good events. I remember the Lakota Nation Invitational that year was dedicated to the Year of Unity. The Black Hills Powwow was dedicated to it. Governor and I spoke at Wagner Community School that year, and it was a gymnasium that was packed to the rafters. Half of the people were non-Indians and half were Indians. And it was just a feeling of camaraderie and friendship in that building. And I really felt good that there'd been such great strides taken over those years, because when I was a young man, I worked in Wagner, and the feelings weren't that strong between Indians and the whites in those days. So I saw a tremendous improvement.
As we approach the 123rd anniversary of the Wounded Knee Massacre, and you talk about how there's been some changes in understanding, I'm wondering regarding the Wounded Knee Massacre, that in your lifetime, if the understanding of what happened on that day has changed, if that today all races understand what happened on December 29th, 1890, or if there's still a lot that we need to know and understand.
Well, you know, Carl, sometimes I think we look at history, an event such as the massacre at Wounded Knee, and we sort of think of it as ancient history. And, you know, when I was a boy and I lived at Wounded Knee, it was in the mid-1930s, the massacre at Wounded Knee had only happened probably 47, 48 years away from that date. There were a lot of people that were still alive that had either been at Wounded Knee or on the reservation at that particular time. My grandmother, Sophie, was working at the Holy Rosary Indian Mission at Pine Ridge on December the 29th, 1890, and she recalls a lot of the things and the fear that spread throughout the reservation on that particular day. So it really stuck in the minds of people simply because it was something that was so tragic. It was repeated over and over in the Lakota family, in the households. And it's a day, I think, that the United States government needs to take a look at, because there was 21 medals of honor that were issued to the members of the 7th Cavalry. And, I mean, that would be, in my opinion, my humble opinion, like issuing medals of honor to those soldiers at what they called the My Lai Massacre in Vietnam. And those things we need to look at. I mean, there's no reason why history can't be amended. And I think that's one thing that really needs to be amended, that so many innocent men, women, and children died that day, and the Army handed out medals of honor for the slaughter. So those are things we need to look at with the United States government. And there has never been ever an apology from the United States government for the tragedy of that day. And, you know, I think of all the things that happened within that period of time, the massacre at Ouachita, the Cheyenne massacre in Colorado under Shivington. So there were a lot of people being slaughtered among the Indian tribes in western South Dakota in that particular period of time. And so it's just part of our history, I think, that we don't look at in the way we should be looking at. I think we should have a very strong – we went to the high school here in Rapid City a couple of days ago, my daughter and I, and asked some of the students to tell us how they felt about what happened at Wounded Knee. And a lot of them didn't really have any strong knowledge of what really happened that day. So I don't know. That tells me that perhaps there's not an emphasis on it in the schools, even though it's a part of South Dakota's history that really needs to be relived.
Do events like the Year of Reconciliation and the Year of Unity, do you think these help us understand and help us learn more about the Wounded Knee Massacre, so it isn't something that gets forgotten or we don't think about anymore?
Well, you know, the tragedy of the Year of Reconciliation was that the man who really had the power to get a lot of things done perished, died in a plane crash a few years into it. And in the main year of 1990, I left South Dakota also, and I took a Nieman Fellowship at Harvard. So the two characters, really, the two main characters that kicked this off and really got it off the ground and weren't here that first year when I think we really needed to focus on what we were trying to do. We had plans when I came back to start having community meetings throughout South Dakota in towns that bordered Indian reservations. The governor and I would sit down and talk and bring people from the reservations and people from the community to sit down and talk about our commonalities and our differences. We never had a chance to do that, and I think that was probably one of the tragic things about the Year of Reconciliation.
Well, Mr. Gallego, you're talking a little bit about some of the improvements, things that have changed in the 20 years since the Year of Reconciliation. What areas do you think still need further improvement?
Well, we have, a gap yet between the state of South Dakota, the state government itself, and the Indian people. We have a facilitator in La Plante in there who's trying to work to make the connections between the tribes. But I think when there's a mindset in the state legislature, I think that needs to open. We don't have any Native American judges, for instance, sitting on any of the benches in South Dakota. We don't have any on the federal bench, state bench, county, city. And we have a lot of qualified Native Americans who are attorneys that could very well serve in those positions. I think, you know, just the fact that there's a Native American there who maybe looks at things a little differently and maybe has a deeper understanding of the culture and the spirituality of the people would make a great difference. I think just having a Native American, like when I first started working in this business and I went to work for the Rapid City Journal, just having a Native American in the newsroom, I think, made a difference because some of the reporters would come and ask me questions, and it helped open their minds and broaden their perspectives on the relations between Indians and whites that they didn't have before.
How do you make that happen, or what needs to be done to, for example, as you mentioned, get more Native American people involved in South Dakota government?
Well, the media, I think, would help a lot. I think it's something that they need to focus on and not set it way on the back burner. I think the schools, even our reservation schools, I think, are a little remiss in really reminding the students how Native American Day got started, about the Year of Reconciliation, about Governor Mickelson, about the roles of the Lakota people like Virgil Kilstraight and Alec White Plume and Jim Garrett played. And those should all be taught in the schools and I think serve as strong reminders. And I think another thing that really upsets me every year is we have a Native American Day celebrated on October the 12th, and yet so many merchants in the state of South Dakota have big Columbus Day sales. And you can't get it through the heads of some of the corporations that we have a Native American Day in South Dakota and not Columbus Day. So those are the things I think the media needs to step in and start educating some of the people that you need to face up to the realities of what it is here today.
We have a couple of minutes, just a couple of minutes left here. You mentioned the original ride that helped spur the Year of Reconciliation with Alex White Plume and Jim Garrett and Virgil Kilstraight. Understand that they're going to take that ride again this year?
They do it every year.
Every year?
Yeah, and they always meet with at the grave site, and there's always prayers and for peace and reconciliation. And they've been doing it now every year for 23 years. And it's lost its focus. I mean, one of these days I'd like to see a camera crew down there that's actually there to record it and spread it out so people in the state of South Dakota know that this is still going on.
How important do you think rides like that? There's the other ride that's going on right now to Mankato for the Dakota people that were hanged in 126 years ago. Are these good ways to bring these things to the front burner to remind us of this history?
I think anything that can get people talking about things. I mean, the only way we're going to communicate is if we can sit down and hear about these events and then actually open-mindedly discuss them. And I think that purpose was what these rides serve. You know, it really was a tough time back there in December 29th in 1990 because it was probably one of the coldest week in the history of this state. And those riders were out there in freezing temperatures, and they made that entire ride. I had a photographer named Eric Hossie that worked for me when I owned the Lakota Times, took a beautiful photograph of the riders coming down a snow-covered slope. And the photograph was so good it even was in Time magazine. And so a lot of people nationally from that one photograph had an opportunity to understand there was something taking place in South Dakota that was different.